anointing today that breaks the yoke has the basis in your name, God. And we thank you that you magnify your word together and above your name. And we thank you that in your name there is no sin, no shame, no sickness, no disease, nothing but resurrection power and resurrection life, God. We thank you, Lord, that you are risen, and we celebrate your resurrection. That is who you are. That is your name. So we thank you, Lord, that in your name all is found. In your name there is none lost. In your name that is our focus. In your name you are the solution. So we thank you, Jesus, that we shout out your name. Jesus! Jesus, we shout out your name. We shout out your name, God, that in that shouting, in that creative name, there is birthing of new things. You are birthing new things in us right now. So we praise you, God, for your name. Name of Jesus, God. You are the name. You are the name. That's who you are. Thank you, God. Just shout out his name. Shout out the name of Jesus. Jesus! Jesus, Jesus! Jesus, Jesus! Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. The Lord says to my Lord, this is Psalm 110. This is God who is speaking to Jesus. This is the triune Godhead. This is the name of God, Jesus, Father, Holy Spirit. And they are speaking back and forth to the other. Today, Father, there's revelation in this today for us. So we thank you, God. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. The Lord stretches forth your strong scepter from Zion, saying, rule in the midst of your enemies. Let me repeat it. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will voluntarily and volunteer freely in the day of your power, in holy array, from the womb of the dawn. From the womb of the dawn. Father, I thank you for the great awakening now that's found in your name, God. I thank you, Jesus, from the womb of the dawn, there's a great awakening upon us. There's a great awakening upon this earth. There's a great awakening, Father, in the state of Ohio, in the United States of America. And this awakening from you is upon us. And Father, we say that we are your birthers. We will birth what you say. We will birth what you're doing, because it's all found in your name. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Let me read to you Psalm 16. Thank you, Jesus. 8 through 11. I'm going to ask you to gather around somebody close to you right now. Really close. Children and adults as well. This is also something very prophetic for right now. The Lord says in Psalm 16, 8 through 11, let me read these words. Don't hesitate, just move any person that's living and breathing right near you. Just lay hands on each other. Really believe God wants to release something powerful. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. So let's just speak that over each person here. I have set the Lord continually before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. Lord, we just release the fullness of this word. And we thank you, Lord. Just face each other. Look at each other. And speak the words of life over each other. I have set the Lord continually before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you for this prophetic declaration, for this prophetic release, God, in the presence of you because of your name. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When you speak over, you can release. You have set the Lord continually before you because the Lord's at the right hand of the Father and you will not be shaken. This is faith. This is hope. This is release. This is breaking chains. This is giving revelation. This is opening up hearts and minds in the area of worship because we are birthing from the womb of the dawn right now. That's what we're doing. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Take it seriously, because it is. Even if we don't understand it. Thank you, Holy One. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for your prophetic release and declaration today. Thank you, Lord, that you are in the beginning. You are the Word, and you are the Word made flesh, and you dwelt among us, God. Thank you, Father, that in your matchless, powerful name, there is release, there is wholeness, there is restoration, there is healing. Thank you, God, for healing in your wings right now. Thank you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord. Can we give the Lord a big shout? And thank you, Jesus. 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 I want you to see this little clip. This happened last Sunday during the message. Not during worship, during the message when the word of the Lord is declared in the fullness as it is here as well. But just look what God did. I didn't know about it till after, but you were sitting in here, many of you. So look what Jesus did. He's so on top of what we're doing. He's leading this. So watch this. Just put it up, please, the sound. We'll try it. We'll hope it works. It's a nice picture of Eric anyway. So if somebody needs to help. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody want to help them with that? Thank you, Jesus. Is Eric in here? He's not? Okay. Hi, Josh. Well, it's just like going into the emergency room with all the doctors and nurses gathering. Oh, what's the problem? I'll bring the solution. Here it is on my phone again. Okay. Well, it's coming. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we just declare and decree that what the Lord wants to continue to do for us, in us, to us, through us today will happen. And that the healing and the delivering and the anointing and the progressive prophetic release and power shall be upon us. Amen? Because we're going from glory to glory and we're seeing things increase and change. And I just thank you guys for worship today. And I thank you that the word of the Lord will continue on today. Last week we had, is it ready? Just flag me if not. But last week we had a word, many words, actually from the book of Acts primarily. Acts 1, 2, 3, 4, part of 5, and jumped over to Acts 12. It was crazy. The Lord just said, run, run, go, grab what I'm going to release today. So it was a fury, a good fury in the Lord. Felt that was so exciting. And I don't know how many of you have been, excuse me, can somebody grab me some water in the back, please? I don't know how many of you have felt a provocation, but that was the intent. Last week, I felt that word come, provocation. I don't walk around saying, so are you provoked today? But I just thank you. Thank you very much. But I just felt the Lord say, I want to provoke you in a good way for continued devotion. There's provocation in the spirit. There's a provoking. You know, sometimes we think that's a bad word. Oh, he provoked me to what? So this is a time of provocation where the Lord is stirring us. Sometimes we use that word, but provoking us to move forward and grab what he's doing, because it's in a time of awakening, isn't it? I mean, how many of us are going or thinking or considering being part of Awaken the Dawn? You know, I was talking to a friend in Dayton who goes to a large church there, a good church, and has never heard of any of this, the Awaken the Dawn, Rise Up, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness. So I was able to share that. But I think in our, excuse me, I think in our own prayer times, we need to be praying for the body of Christ, that the body of Christ is really igniting and really understanding what's at stake here and what God's trying to do, so that we can jump in, join arms, and celebrate and be part of this birthing that God's doing in our nation. He's being awakened right now. It's only 30 seconds, but it's a good one. So I was sitting in the front row where Judah is. So you got healed during the match? Oh, I am. I'm just explaining where I was right here. Pulled my phone out while he's telling me this last week.
That's awesome.
So you got healed during the message?
Yeah, it was insane.
Oh my gosh, so you stood up and what happened?
I stood up and my feet get hurt. Like, I sat down all during worship and like, I wasn't even going to walk in the park store. I was like, I'm not getting out of my car. My feet are going to hurt too bad. And then I sat down here, sat down in the morning, and by the time her message was done, I got up and my feet were on.
How long were they like that, Eric?
It's been like, they were hurting really bad the last couple of days, but even the pain in my ankles has been for the last several weeks, and it's not even there right now, so I'm like beyond the pain.
Can you turn around and walk or jump or do something so I can see you? Wow.
You cannot do that before.
You couldn't do that.
Yesterday, I didn't even want to walk around on the floor of the house. So.
Wow. That's awesome. I like hearing healings happen right during the message. That's really awesome. Praise God.
I've only ever seen it happen. I've never been on the receiving end of that.
Well, you are today.
Yeah, today is the first time. So.
That's so cool. Well, you got to tell everybody about this.
Yeah.
Okay?
Great.
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing it. Praise God. Amen. Can we give the Lord a big thank you, Jesus, right in the middle, Father? So I don't know how much you could understand or hear. It's kind of muddled, but anyway, it was about 3 weeks this has been going on. And so he was even having a struggle getting out of the car and even walking, coming in here. We didn't know any of that. He wasn't thinking about that during the message, but we were preaching and teaching many things, especially from the early church and what God was doing in releasing the power of the Holy Spirit and increasing the early church based on the name of Jesus. So hearing this at the end is just, oh, this is so glorious, because this is all about last week. And any time that the apostles or the disciples set forward or to do anything that would be exemplifying the name, the power, the fullness of Jesus Christ, the enemy was right there trying to stop. And so it's really tangible for us to read in Acts and hear about the threats and the imprisonment and all of that. And every time they stepped in, the Lord had a plan over here at the same time to fill them with boldness, to fill them with courage, to open their eyes to the newness of the cross, to increase them in their understanding, their spiritual understanding of the resurrection of Jesus. And so when Peter was just stepping out and he's... No, he's preaching with boldness and he's preaching with power. Multitudes are coming and getting saved. I mean, it was crazy. So we were talking last week about how 3,000 got saved because of this wild man tapping into the fullness of the name of Jesus with the full unction of the Holy Ghost upon him. Amazingly, because of the openness of Pentecost and what he was doing and how he was preaching, 3,000 people came into the fold. Okay, then he stepped out and he continued on. And you know this. And he continued on stepping into what Jesus was doing and releasing in the area of healing and the area of the demonstration of the goodness of God. What happens after that? Oh, the enemy's raising his ugly head, trying to stop them again, trying to arrest them and do something and forbidding them to speak and teach on the name of Jesus. It's all through the scriptures in the beginning of Acts particularly. And the Lord's saying, no, that's my son. That's my name. He's gonna validate who I am by his words, by his actions. So went through the book of Acts in a very systematic and non-systematic way, going through the scriptures. And I exhort you, certainly not because I gave it last week, but I exhort you as something foundational for what he wants to do in here. I exhort you, please, listen to it again. Listen to it if you weren't here, or listen to it and get from it the anointing that God wants to release, because it's something special. I know it. I had no idea where this was going to go. It was powerful. And there was an anointing here that was released, and I want you guys to be in that. Catch that. And there's going to be a build. I don't know what it is, but there's going to be a build on top of that today. So I'm really excited about it. So after that, this is when Eric came up and said that. It's like, yeah, okay, what do we do with that? The Lord is trying to bring us into a place of oneness, one mind, one heart, one accord, one way of moving with everybody's different ideas. Come on, different thinkings, if you will. But at the same time, undergirding all of it with the foundation that is not shaken, so that there was a oneness in heart. And that oneness in heart, that devotion, that continual devotion, looked like something. It looked like something that could be seen by others. And the enemy didn't like it. And the enemy was discombobulated. The enemy was frustrated. The enemy tried. And he was not successful. Some people lost their life. And that's still going on today. But God's really clear. He's saying, I want to recalibrate this up here because I'm going to show you things. And if you think you've arrived and you've gotten that, no, never do that. Never do that. Any of us would be very foolish to do that. We want to be in a state of learning and receiving and see what God's doing and going back to that foundational time and realizing that's what he's doing in the church at large, in America. All over the world, he's saying, guys, I'm going to shore up these edges. I'm going to shore up things to show you that what I have birthed is coming in a greater way, but I'm going to use you in those places. I want to give you eyes to see what others might not be seeing yet. Are you in that camp? Do you want to see the things that God's already releasing? And pull down anything he wants to release. He's looking for the hungry, crazy people who are devoted continually to him. And that's what this was all about. This is why. And it came on the coattails of these wild messages dealing with ships and things like that. And do you know what? The enemy wants people to be looking at messages the wrong way. And he wants people to hang on a comment or a word and say, aha, that type of thing, and miss the picture of what God's doing. This is a time of building. It's so exciting and it's so fun. And I'm so grateful to be able to stand up here and share that with you guys. So that's what's coming, and we're going to release the kids in a minute. But I know we have a couple of very cool things to share with you before we do. One of them is, last night when I was preparing my heart, I was connecting with Pastor Benjamin, Pastor Israel Benjamin, for the sake of Relentless Pursuit and not having to change everything back here once it's recorded. But you know who that is? And he's from Southeast Asia. And he's coming, we're believing here. And so there was a prophetic word that was given for him by Amanda. You know who Amanda is? It's not our Amanda here, but it's Amanda. And Amanda is one of our spiritual daughters in Brazil who went to Mozambique this summer. She's one of the ones who is crazy and wild in Brazil, in the city of God. She's 21 and filled with fire, filled with anointing, filled with the Holy Spirit, very humble and wants Jesus. And that's just Jesus. She works with Inez, our director of Frontline Brazil, and she's coming here. Found out yesterday she's coming here. She will be here for Relentless Pursuit. Inez is coming for Relentless Pursuit. Okay, so when those two were praying, and maybe others, I don't know, for Pastor Benjamin, yeah, Haley, she's coming. I know you're excited and stuff too. So when they were praying, do you know what? Amanda was in the spirit and she sees lots of visions. And she was praying for Pastor Benjamin, and she saw a large bronze door about 2 meters high. And she saw this strong door just open up through the prayers, through the intercession. So I forwarded that to him, and I said, this is what's going on in Brazil, and everybody's praying here for you too. Because he needs miracle release to be able to get here. He needs his visa. He needs passport. He needs all of the final things to happen with his cases in various places. And he needs them squashed. He needs us to intercede. He needs us to pray. And we're going to talk about that today in context of Acts and other things. And the Lord is saying, stand together. Stand in heart. Stand together. And do you know that some of the things that you're facing are related to some of the things that are going on in India and Brazil? That's the good, the bad, and the ugly. But in God's eyes, it's all good. The enemy's good. Well, the enemy can be used for good purposes in the sense that we are totally dependent on the Lord. So that's a good thing. So what we want to do today is think about that, praise God for that. And here's another testimony. So I'm talking to Pastor Benjamin, and he was just leaving his place in Northern Asia, and he was going to another place, and I'm not, just because this is where we are in this season, he's going to another place we've been to before, and so he asked for prayer, because he had just spent a lot of time in the mountains, and he came out of the mountains with something going wrong in his feet, called edema. Whether it's, he didn't give me anything else other than that, which is large swelling, and Josh knows the, you know, whatever goes along with that. But he asked for prayer for that, and he said that at the same time, his little girl Basha, who's 4, and he got to be at her first birthday party, first time in 4 years he got to be with her, and we saw that last week or the week before. It was so cool. And you know what? She came down with pneumonia in both lungs, completely choking life out of her. And in one day, they just said, no, this is not going to happen. They did take her to the hospital. The doctors cannot believe it. They're totally amazed. He'll probably share it when he's here. But just totally healed by God. Totally healed by God. And the night before that, thank you, Jesus. And the night before that, his wife, Ina, had some weird pains in her ribs. Didn't know what that was. So all this is going on. There's edema in the feet, pains in the ribs, and little Bosch's getting hammered. And they stood on the word, and he's just writing to me. And I was reading this last night while I'm reading my Bible going, oh, God, this is so good. This is so international. God, that's who you are. Open our eyes to see this connection and to express gratitude for it. And so he was saying, I'm standing on the word of God, and I thank you that you stand with me, so that I can inherit the fullness of the promise and I can have the endurance and the patience to go through this. How many of us know when we're in India, it's kind of wretched, really. If you've ever been there, some of you have things to say about it, right? And it's very, very, very hot. And it's they don't have the comforts like this. Not that we'd have air conditioning, but you know what I'm saying? And so to have edema in the feet with the swelling, he's got all kinds of things lined up. So we're just going to pray and believe. And he said, by the time I arrive to this other place, he says, it needs to be gone because he has to hit the ground running. He was in the car. So we prayed and we did that last night. And I don't know what time he got there or if he's still en route. I really don't know because they'll travel for days to get somewhere and do meetings, right? And also, I will tell you, this place that he went before, years ago, there was a major... there was a major sting operation where people were released from the aspects of human trafficking that we don't want to see because of mixed company in here. And he was highly involved in that, partnering with people around the entire country. It was a major deal. And this is before he was sent to jail. So this is years ago. but he told us all about it. So very dangerous mission. So let's just join hearts right now. Father, we just thank you for Pastor Benjamin. We thank you, God, for what you're doing in his life. We thank you, Lord, that you have released him. You've set him free, and you've shown yourself strong within the judicial system. And Father, there will be a full squashing of all the cases against him. And Father, that will lead to the full release of this passport and his visa coming. And we thank you, Lord, that you are the authority over heaven and earth. And this edema leaves him, whatever the root cause is. We just say no. We just strike it down. We strike down this disease. We strike down this curse over him in your mighty name. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Lord, that he receives the fullness of deliverance and healing. And we thank you, God, that every part of the mission that you have ordained before the foundations of this earth shall come to pass. Thank you, Lord. We just celebrate what you're doing for him. And thank you for healing Basha. Thank you for healing Ina. And thank you for Inez and Amanda coming in, and Pastor Jose and Mel Tari and others who still will be coming. We'll see what God does. So thank you, Jesus, for this. Amen. Amen. Oh, this is good. This is really good. I don't know if it's always hard with announcements for me. I love them because I want to know what's going on and everything. But, you know, I just want to keep the fire going here, right? But at the same time, we have some other things that are going, and I'm famous for saying, we'll do that later. You guys know me. So I'm not going to do that right now. So those of you who have some quick things to share, this is a quickie, if we can. I think it's Carly or somebody who's going to be saying something about Mount. Did you want to come up with that? Before we set the kids loose here.
Okay. So this past weekend, so yesterday and Friday night, we had a weekend on the Edge at Mount Union. So the Edge is our young adult group that we have here, Malone, Mount Union, Stark State. And then Jackson High School, we call it Impact. And so for a weekend on the Edge, Friday night, we did a showing of Case for Christ in the Quad, which is this lovely grassy area. And our Edge students came out for that. It was just really fun. They hadn't seen it before, many of them. And those that had even afterwards just said it really reaffirmed and stirred up their faith. So that was really fun. And then yesterday, we went out in the afternoon and had 2 hours of bubble soccer, which is this lovely, hilarious, super fun game. And we ended up having a really good turnout. There's actually not that many students that stay on campus on the weekends at Mount Union. And if they are, they're all in their air-conditioned dorm rooms, not outside on a 90-degree day. But some were walking to the cafeteria and saw us and joined in. Some had just finished playing in the marching band at the football game and came over. Others even saw it from their dorm rooms and said, I've always wanted to do that. I'm going to come out for it. So there's our group. We had a lot of frontliners that went out to really connect with the students, but a lot of students as well. So it was a really fun time. There was a game of soccer. There was a relay where you just ran and people spun in the bubbles as fast as they could. Also, just really good times of connection. We did have a personal prophetic drawing table as well. So some were able to receive from that and just really learn more about God's heart for them. There was a game of dodgeball. It got pretty intense. And more bubble soccer. So it was a really awesome time of outreach. Ethan seemed to really enjoy knocking me over a lot. Ethan was one of our impactors last year. He graduated from Stark State, and now he's been helping out at the Stark State Edge. I mean, he graduated from Jackson High School, now is going to Stark State, helping at the Stark State Edge. That's Jacob. He is one of the students that's a freshman and has become involved at the Edge at Mount Union this year. And he was really excited about bubble soccer. He's played it before. And he's like, it doesn't matter if it's 90 degrees. I've played it in the middle of July and the sun before. It'll be fun. People will come for it. So we were a little concerned about the heat, but he was right. People still came out, and we had a really good time. We do have a couple short videos to show, just so you guys can get a better idea of what exactly bubble soccer is. So sometimes it was soccer, sometimes it was just running into each other and seeing who falls down. Totally based on size.
Fair enough.
Being not so large, I was one that always went flying in crazy circles. You flipped upside down.
Yeah, Jordan.
Sometimes you would just get stuck with your feet in the air, and you'd have to wait for someone to come giving you a loving little push to right you again. It really was a blast for everybody that participated, for us, for the students.
Jordan just ran a marathon,
and definitely led to some good connections as well.
Oh, Jordan!
So, yep, he got stuck.
He's a beast.
So I think that gives a pretty good idea of it. You don't even have to show the other videos. Troy has a couple more videos on his Facebook. A really epic battle between Troy and Lawrence. Definitely a good one to check out. And then in the Saturday after bubble soccer, some people went out to dinner with some of the students. And then in the evening, we had a game night, which also drew more people out. Some of our students were really excited about video games and got their system set up. We also had board games. And so just had really good chances over a game of Euchre to connect with some of the students on a personal level. I know Troy got to really encourage a freshman who'd been involved with church, but, you know, getting used to now being away at college, just encouraging him to not fall into the freshman slide, as Troy calls it, where, well, now I'm away from home and I'm away from my home church, so I'm just kind of going to do the college thing. But to really just encourage him to stay in love with Jesus. And the guy found that to be a real blessing to him. And we're just looking forward to the continued connections that are going to come out of this weekend. So thank you all so much, those of you who were able to come out, those of you who prayed into the weekend. We really appreciate all of your support.
Yes, Lord. That looked like a lot of fun. So how many of you guys would like to run with an inflatable thing of the gospel into people and just bounce the enemy right out of them? So this first Friday is going to be held in Washington, D.C., at Awake in the Dawn. And so I know some of you guys might have got an email. How many here are going to Awake in the Dawn? The Lord will, if you're considering it, the Lord will make a way where there is no way to go, because it's going to be powerful. So if you guys could do me a favor, one of the things that we're going to be doing is we're going to be doing the prophetic outreach evangelism that we do on First Friday with clipboards, colored pencils. And so Frontline is actually heading that up for the state of Ohio. And so we're drawing people into that. And so we have sign-up sheets, sign-up spots, and this can be really helpful because we want other people that are in the state of Ohio to partner with us in doing this. So this might be a little bit complicated, but if you go to the Awaken the Dawn page for Ohio, and you do a search on their post, you will find a picture of myself doing clipboard. You'll see a picture of Rachel giving a word to Terrence. And on that post, you can sign up for specific time slots that we're doing prophetic evangelism. And we're doing it Friday night after the big gathering outside of our tent from about 9:30 to 11. And then from 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock, 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock, you guys get the progression of the 3-hour segments. So we're really needing some frontliners to go on that page, sign in those times, say, hey, I'm committing that these 3 hours at Awaken the Dawn, I'm going to be there with my clipboard. But since we're in charge of this, we're also going to be encouraging other people that would be signing up as well, partner with them, kind of let them know how it goes, the flow, because you guys have been doing this for years. We've been sowing it out, and so the Lord has raised us up at this time to be able to release that, which is an incredible honor and privilege. So really, I encourage you guys, sign up for those times. Let me know. You know, I can fill it up, sign you up on there, or point you in the direction. But the more names that are on there, it creates more momentum, because then it's like, hey, this person's doing this, this person's doing this. And that way, as of myself, that I'm not covering like 9 times of prophetic outreach, which I love. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to cover some. And Troy said he's going to cover a slot. So we also want to partner up as well. So is that making sense? It's really going to be an awesome time. There's all kinds of amazing things that are happening at Awaken the Dawn. Just check out the Facebook page. There's all kinds of good stuff. So looking forward to you guys. Oh, yes. We're also doing prophetic worship art on the inside of the tent. So when the worship teams are going on, you know, they're going in their slots. We're also going to have a canvas set up, an easel. We're going to have paints available, canvas board, all of that. So you can also sign up in the email that you should have received from the Ohio, the Wake of the Dawn people. It, you know, has in there, respond to them, let them know we can get you in a time slot. There's 2-hour time slots per worship and that you can sign up and paint. And there's one time that I think I want to sign up for painting, and there's like a worship warfare drum time at our tent, which I thought was kind of cool. It's like bring your djembes from like this time to this time. It's just all going to be drumming prophetic worship, and that'd be a fun time to paint. So if that's you or you know somebody that wants to sign up to paint, sign up on there, and we will get this thing awesomely organized for what the Lord wants to do.
Right there. You know, the Awaken the Dawn email that everybody who's going would have received yesterday, while it was being constructed, Robin and I, who is the director for the state of Ohio, were talking about things, and I'm talking to Andy, and what she said is just respond to her and say, oh, yes, I'm interested. I believe that's how she did it. And this is the way. And she, everything that she gets, you don't have to worry about a time. This is all inside the tent. Inside. What he said about outside, you go to the Ohio Awaken the Dawn Facebook page. Okay? So you got that. Inside the tent, what you need to do is tell Andy. And if you're going to Awaken the Dawn or Rise Up, you would have received an email yesterday. If you didn't, then you've not registered yourself, which I think Carly sent out an email. Register. There's an arrow. Register at Awaken the Dawn, okay? And so if you didn't get that email yesterday, you're not registered. How's that? So what you would do is say, I'm interested in painting. Here's my email. She's going to send it to Andy. So Andy is going to get everybody's email from the state of Ohio this week. I don't know how many that will be. But he agreed to do it, and we're just kind of flowing. So we would love you guys to pick up a paintbrush and or whatever and paint in the tent, and we're going to hang everything in the tent. So Frontline's responsible for the inside and the outside, for prophetic art, prophetic evangelism, prophetic drawing. And there's two things you can do. Respond to the Awaken the Dawn Facebook page, which everybody can do, and sign up to help us with the outside outreach with clipboards. And you can tell Andy, number two, tell Andy, hey, I want to do some prophetic painting. Let me know when. And also, which would be wise, with that, go to your email, respond to the email and say, hi, Robin, yes, I'm from Frontline. I would like to be part of the painting, smiley face. And she's going to send it right to Andy anyway, but she'll have a list. Okay? Clear. Inside, outside. And then we found out yesterday, on top of that, we've been wanting to get in the regional tents. There were 12 regional tents. Well, for a lot of different reasons, they carved that down to 6 or 7. But yesterday, we got an email, and this is where the bands, the worship teams from around the country, this is not Ohio, this is around the country, are signed up for the electrified worship, if you will. Okay? Those are regional tents. So we've been in touch. I've been in touch. So that's the we. With the regional director for 6 states. He's a really cool guy. As well as Robin from Ohio. And we have 2 sets. They're in the middle of the night. But that's okay. We're missionaries, right? But we have 2 sets. It's amazing. So God is good. So the favor is upon this group. And we're going to try to figure all that out. You know, when do you sleep? I don't know. We'll figure it out. But God's doing it. So if you can make it this weekend, that weekend, which is this weekend, right? Coming up? 2 weeks. Think about that. Amen. So that's really good. And lastly, this is going to be short. Please. Mandy, because of this long, everybody's wanting to release their kids, I'm going to ask you to give a shortened version of Tuesday, if you could. Mandy gave an amazing overview of Gift of Christmas on Tuesday. I was ready to go sign up myself right now. So, but because of the length of this, and we want to release, we'll shorten it.
Okay. So, if you can hear me, and if you're listening, put your finger on your nose. Okay. So most of you, I think, are listening. Okay, so Gift of Christmas is coming up this Saturday, December 2nd. Okay? So I would encourage you to take out your phone and put that in your calendar if you've not done that. For those of you who don't know, this is perhaps our single biggest outreach that we do each year locally here in Canton. This is where we go out to the Stark County homeless shelters, and we take them Christmas shopping. We offer an array of activities here at the church afterwards. We put on a fantastic Christmas dinner that is provided by various vendors and restaurants in the area. And then we bring them in here. We give them a gospel message. And honestly, every year we have people that run to the front. They run to receive salvation, prayer for healing and deliverance. I would really, really encourage you to take that back to the Lord, to make yourself available for Saturday, December 2nd. And I know last year, there were several people who are like veteran frontliners who were not available for one reason or the other, or only available maybe for a small window. That's why I wanted to make a point to let all of you know in September that Gift of Christmas is Saturday, December 2nd. And I would just encourage you to go to the Lord and ask him, what would be his best for how you are to participate. We were really short on helpers for the shopping portion, and we were overstaffed here at the church, which actually kind of made some interesting dynamics here. So that's just something I would encourage you to take back to the Lord. And there will be more information coming soon. I think we're hoping to get the letter out. I will be asking you again to go out to any contacts you have in the community to seek out donations of food or financial contributions.
Thank you. Amen. Kingdom kids, goodbye. Thank you. Oh, we turn the lights on. Thank you. Father, we thank you that all these announcements are so exciting and necessary, Lord, because they give you glory. That's our desire, Lord, that these are opportunities, past and future, God, to be able to say, look who you are. So we thank you for that. And we thank you, Lord, for the kingdom land time today for the children. And thank you, Father, that you will release today through this message what it is that you want to continue to stir us up in the area of continued devotion. And we thank you, God, that we are devoted to you. You are our King. And Father, may this totally be honoring and exalting to your matchless name. And may there be just the excitement and the enthusiasm and the power that's released, Lord, through your spoken word that uses us, Father, as birthers. Fathers, as channels for your glory to be released, to be received. And we're thanking you, God, for more of how to not only operate in the kingdom to know what you're saying and doing, but also, Father, to draw in closer with that, which is always together in tandem with you, to draw in closer to your spirit. Thank you, Jesus. We just call on you. Anoint these words, Jesus. May they be pleasing to your mouth and your eyes and your heart. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Provocation in the spirit. Oh, I love this. That was the word of the Lord to me, provocation in the spirit, to lay everything down in this season, to lay down our careers, our finances, our property, our families, everything, that we would have continued surrender so that we would have a deeper revelation of the cross and the resurrection throughout that process. That's how it works. So we want to understand, we want to receive, we want to move in, we want to celebrate, we want to be completely captured by preaching, in the preaching of the cross and the resurrection, as Paul said, I only want to know Christ crucified, and I want to be known in heaven that way. Christ's crucifixion led to the resurrection, leads to the resurrection in our life to be able to receive that and release that. So last week was very fun to be saying to the Lord, show me your glory and show me how this can go, Father, in a way that will completely ignite us and fill us with your next realm of power, understanding how you were able to so impart your words of life and your prophetic destiny and words to Peter when he was preaching, and how effective they were, and they were cutting to the heart of the very people who needed to hear. And there were people who had no idea that you, Jesus, had lived. but there were also people who were eyewitnesses or who had heard about what Jesus was like, what he had done. So we talked last week about, especially in the book of Acts in the first chapter, if we can open our Bibles to that, we're going to highlight just a few things with the caveat that we truly trust and hope that you'll be able to put these two messages together. And one without the other probably isn't the best. So that would be the heart's desire right here. So as you recall, last week when we were talking about Acts, we looked at the first chapter of Acts and really highlighted, and again, I'm not re-preaching this message, but really highlighted the fact that in the first verse, when Dr. Luke was writing this to Theophilus about all that Jesus began to do and teach, that was the first account, and that he was now following up with the rest. So everything was progressive. And in the midst of that, there was a foundational shift for the way that God wanted to structure things so that we could take a look at everything in our families, our finances, our properties, our ministries, everything that's highlighted in the way that we do kingdom, everything Father would tell us would be who we are. And he would say, I have a purpose and I have a plan, and it's going to stretch you, and it's going to be for your good. It's going to be for my glory. It's going to be to exercise in you the ability that only I can give you to say yes and amen to everything that's coming from heaven to earth. So we're trying to understand how that all works, and that's a good place to be for all of us. And so Luke understood that. And so when he began to open up chapter 1 to us, he was releasing all of our beloved people at that time through a release of the gospel of the Great Commission, the part of the gospel where the Great Commission was given in Matthew 28. And he was basically saying, hey, here, let's go back. This is what Jesus says. This is what he said. He says, I'm going to gather together, and here's what you need to do. This is in chapter 1. He says, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And it's not you for you to know the times or the epochs with which the Father has fixed by his own authority. Verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. So even bubble soccer, God says, if you have my heart, my mind, my desires, my focus, my empowerment, I can take something crazy looking like that, and I can do something exponential. One of those people in the bubble soccer outfits could actually be taking Mozambique for Jesus next summer. You just don't know. But at the same time, if the Lord is not birthing through the anointing that is flowing through each one of us is participating in that, or praying for it, or who has eyes to see the purposes of God in all things, then things can be missed. And God gives us opportunities, maybe, in the future. But the Lord, at the same time, knows what he wants to accomplish. And the kids of the kingdom, that's all of us, who will posture themselves in a place to actually hear what he's saying. I think there's going to be an exponential release, exponential indicator above anything else that's ever happened before to take us to another level, to take us to another dimension. So if we want to go to another dimension in the spirit, whatever that looks like, that means that we're increasing and we're always on the increase. I get a text this morning from Haley. I don't know where she's in here, if she's teaching or whatever, but Haley was telling me, yeah, the X and Y coordinates when you're doing the math, and she's a high school math teacher, and she was saying, hey, this reminds me of the cross of Jesus. And it's all in my room with the new carpeting that I have that's in the form of graph paper on the floor. So that was on her mind. Who thinks like that? Someone who is positioned, someone who is saying, Jesus, it's got to be you, it's got to be you, more and more. And the enemy, or the Lord, uses those opportunities for us to see what he's saying to us so that we can stand united, we can stand together, and we can be devoted together in what he's wanting to say and do at this moment. So when Jesus, before he departed, when he was giving the words to his disciples, he was saying, this is what's going to happen. Yes, you need to go, therefore, into all the world. You need to make disciples of all nations. Yes, don't forget. It's all about souls. It's all about souls. And you're going to draw in close to me, intimacy with me, because when you have my heart that way, you will be all about souls. It's just the way it is. You'll understand what it means to be devoted to each other. You'll understand more of what it means to be devoted in prayer, because this is how I formulate my kingdom thrust inside of you. So Jesus is releasing himself in chapter 1, so exciting, and he's reminding the people, John baptized with water, but you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you'll receive the power, and you'll be my witnesses. So when he did that and he ascended, there were still questions, as I mentioned last week, and I'm not going to go through all of it again. I'm just going to highlight a few things. And they were, again, there were questions about what he meant by that, naturally, and they were still led to the upper room. If you look at verse 14, it says, these all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the other women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. So Peter stands up, and before the Holy Spirit comes, as they're continually devoting themselves, he says, we have to look at this structure. Okay, we had a problem with Judas. He bailed. We got to do something because it was prophesied in the scriptures and saying, look, you got to replace this guy. Something's going to happen. Well, when it finally happened and they realized God wasn't kidding, it increases their faith to be able to look back and see what God told them and say, yes. And again, last week we were encouraging people to remember what God had said and run with it. And it will affect your decisions now. It will affect what you do now. It will affect what you say yes to now. It will affect everything in your life now. What makes sense to you in the now needs to match up with what God has already said. And if it doesn't match up with what God has already said, you need to take a second look. Hirabashi. So, wow. Thank you, Jesus. So that's in chapter 1, but I really went through a lot of that, and I think it's very, very important that you recognize in these chapters, 1, 2, 3, 4, and we'll see how far we get today, that in my Bible, there are all caps and highlights and italics and different ways of highlighting scriptures from the past and what Peter understood and others understood at that time and how they knew what God was saying. And they had an idea. They had this revelation coming to them of when David said, listen, here's what God says to me, and there's going to be someone who's going to come through my line, and he's going to be your Messiah. What do you think about that? Well, Peter went back to that. And he would speak that out, and he would use that. And he, because he knew Jesus through that as well, not just living with him, but also through what was actually released from heaven. And God's saying, do that, guys. Do you know who I am? Do you know what I've said? Some of the scriptures that I read this morning and I asked you to pray over each other, those very scriptures are in these first couple chapters of Acts. God understood that they needed to know the language of heaven, the language between the Father and the Son. Peter was stepping into that. He wasn't just quoting good information. He had revelation of what that meant. He had connection with the Godhead. He understood the words of Jesus, the words of the Father, and how they tied in together. And he understood that he was a son. He knew he was a son in the house. And he acted as a son in the house. And even though he'd be recalibrated in many things, in many ways, as he's going through the difficulties, the highs, and maybe some of the challenge, maybe, not maybe, some of the challenges through those highs, that God was saying, I'm going to take you into other highs because you're going to be so connected with me in heaven while you're on earth that you're going to flow through that. And you're going to be able to see this choice is not best. This choice is not going to bring about the fullness of what you can step in and do as a whole. Will you see that? It's going to retard. It's going to pull back what I want to do on a bigger scale. He understood that. And so he would continue on trying to draw people into Jesus' ways. But it was modeled for him because of Jesus and because of what was given in the scriptures in the past. Jesus lived this way. So Peter had this model right in front of him. So we talked about that last week a little bit too. So again, go back and get some of that. Thank you, Jesus. So as you know from chapter 1, Justus and Matthias were brought up to the Lord and said, okay, these are the guys that seem like they're going to take, one of them's going to take Judas's place. And we're still kind of immature, so, you know, maybe we'll cast lots or whatever, but we're banking on you telling us your choice. What do you think is your God and we're not? You're in charge. It's not just who we like. But this is what we're seeing. So here are the choices, and God shows us that we are highly involved in what God's doing He's not some cosmic daddy. But at the same time, he is sovereign. And when we're close to him in heart, really close, we understand that. And we step back as we jump in. We step back in the fear of God as we jump in and hold fast to him. It's such an exciting place to be able to be seen as birthers of what God wants to do. We are birthers, the womb of God that is in the church as sons and daughters. It's so amazing, the Lord to say, I'm going to use you. I'm going to use your family. I'm going to use your minister. I'm going to use you to birth what I want to see happen. Will you see what I want to do, or will you be caught up with what you think? And again, just I'm sensing we should look at the first verse, which is in chapter 1. He says, go back to that. The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach. All that he began. All that he began. So when there's a beginning, there's an ending, and he's not back yet. So he's beginning to do and show and model and teach us. And we want to learn more of that, don't we? If we get stuck in any place, we'll stay there until we get unstuck. Wow. That's a good word, isn't it? Thank you, Jesus. So we know what happened, and we know that Matthias won, so to speak, and Matthias was the one. And we know that when Peter was giving his first sermon after the Holy Spirit fell in the upper room, we know, if you take a look again at verse 14, Peter took his stand with the 11, which makes 12, and raised his voice and declared to them, men of Judea and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. And so now, this is really fun. I've been spending a lot of time going through again his words to those who ended up being in the upper room and the ones who were drawn through the 120 first receiving the outpouring of the Spirit of God on Pentecost. And we talked about that and what that looked like last week. So listen to it. And then it just morphed into this number of, you know, people just listening. And, you know, they're not in this little tiny room like this. They started in an upper room. But this, can you imagine the explosion of the power of God with tongues of fire and people walking around doing the crazy things that come with the explosion of Jesus Christ coming in the fullness of the Spirit of God, fully prophesied through Joel 2:28 and 29. Prophesied and now received. But everything is built on the past, but also the present, looking forward to the future. Those three things together make sense. So if we're trying to move forward, let's say in what we're doing here, we take a look at the past, we look at the present, and we consider the future. And if we can't do that effectively, where especially leaders are feeling empowered and strengthened and going, yes and amen, there's a problem. So where is the enemy going to hit? He's going to hit in any place in those areas so that we think we're just floating and doing what we're supposed to be doing, because it makes sense, it's a good thing, but it's not necessarily the best to accomplish where we want to go next. Yes, that's true. Very true. So I thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that word. So as you're going through and looking at Peter's sermon, starting in verse 22 in chapter 2, he talks about... Well, this doesn't start there. He talks about the last days from verse 17 on. He starts with Joel 2, 28 and 29. He talks about that, and he lists it right there, and many times we'll tap in, we'll go to the Elijah list and go, oh, there's a message on Joel 2, 28 and 29. What's that have to do with us now in the future? That's really good, but let's take a look at what did that have to do with anything in the past? If we don't understand and get the fullness of the revelation God wants to give us from the past, which is Acts, we're not going to have the fullness to be able to interpret what's going on now. And that's one of the reasons God said to go back to this and do this way. I said, all right, there's more. I have no idea where this is going to go, to be honest with you. It's just really burning in my heart. So, I thank you for that, Jesus. So, verse 22, let's look at that. Men of Israel, and someone who's back there, I think last week Carly was able to just put these things up. So, if you can do that, Rach, that'd be great. But if not, that's okay too. But please be reading. Get your Bibles out. Get your phones out. Follow along, because there's so much richness in here. Don't just listen and watch. Let's read together, okay? So, verse 22. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know, this man, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men, and you put him to death. But God raised him up again. Now, I want you to listen, maybe with increased ears from last week. Listen to where you hear anything mentioned about the resurrection. Because they all know that crucifixion was a big bummer. Everybody knows. Everybody knew back then that really the people who were enemies of the government at that time, and even people who were falsely accused, were crucified. And it was terrible, and it would make them, they would run from it. It was scary and painful, and I'm like, gosh. So Peter doesn't shy away from that, but he takes it into the resurrection. Everything that he does is brought into the resurrection. Everything that he said, everything that he modeled, everything that he did with the people he was responsible to lead ended up in defining what the resurrection was supposed to look like, which means that he remembered the past, put God in remembrance of the past, but in the now, he actually was saying, this is who we are. This is what we're supposed to do. And we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We are baptized with the Holy Spirit. And it's going to look like something. And people, when they're around us, they're going to feel the difference. They're going to know. It's going to be tangible. It's going to be seen. It's going to be observable. It's going to be noted. Not just by the, quote, bad guys, but by the good guys. That's funny. Laugh at my own jokes. It's good. I always tell Pastor Bill, you laugh at your own jokes in the kitchen. He goes, I do. They're funny, you know. So fun. So thank you, Jesus. Verse 24, but God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. Okay, let's keep going. Verse 25, for David says of him, now look at this. He goes right into David, right into Psalm 16, 8 through 11. We read this. We prayed it. We prophesied it over each one at the end of worship. This is what it is. I saw the Lord always in my presence, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad. My tongue exalted. Moreover, my flesh also will live in hope. Because you will not have abandoned my soul to Hades, nor allowed your Holy One to undergo decay. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Why was he saying this? Because it was who Jesus was, even at that time before he came. David got it. David released it. It's part of the kingdom of God. It's part of our understanding of closeness in the presence with him. And so right there, here's Peter just blasting them with this. This is who it is. It's not just trying to convince them. Well, you guys know that we studied the Torah and everything. You guys know in the Old Testament. Remember David said? This was not an intellectual receiving. Although God uses our brain for information to go and for revelation knowledge to come to our heart, because he gives us the spirit of understanding in our mind. Okay? So he uses that. So he goes back to the Old Testament and he does this. And I just exhort you, because of time and we live in America, that you guys would spend more time in Psalm 16. Think about it. Read it over. Ask God for a revelation. Do cross-referencing. Do what we can't do up here all on a Sunday morning, but we can do it else, you know, other times too. So please do that. Now, verse 29. Brethren, I confidently say to you, regarding the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us in this day. 30. And so, because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants on the throne, this is Psalm 132, verse 1. You can write it down if you don't have it right there in your study Bible, if you have one. He quotes it again. He looked ahead and he spoke, listen, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. And you know what I saw when I was studying this again? I mean, how many years have you read Acts? How many times? Some of you maybe for the first time. Praise the Lord. But maybe it's been a long time for many others. Praise the Lord. But do you know, this is from Psalm 16 again? It's like, oh my gosh, God, look at that. Look at your, what are you saying? Psalm 16:10. He was neither abandoned to Hades nor did his flesh suffer decay. It's the same thing again. Why? Why? Because he had to prove and he had to stand on the resurrection. He had to, again, the crucifixion is the foundation for the resurrection. He had to release the power of the resurrection when he was speaking. Hey, and I really believe last week when the power of the resurrection was talked about and we're having all the things that are going were going on and all the healings we were talking about that Peter and John saw with the lame, the paralytic guy who was lame from since birth. I don't know exactly what time Eric got healed, but I found it funny, interesting funny, that this was in his feet, and his feet hurt, and he stood up, and he didn't have anything, and he got up in his feet, and he started jumping around, and I started laughing, not at him, but thinking, God, what else do you need to show us? This is so obvious. Now, maybe he'll heal everybody in here today. Woo, I'd claim for that. I'd ask for that. But this particular one, think about it. He didn't even want to get out of the car because his feet hurt. It had been going on for 3 weeks. I don't know why. I don't know the deal. And he'd never seen anything like this before. He'd heard about it, but never had he seen. It's gonna do something for him. God wants to do that. Oh, you're here. Where are you? Hey, we showed a video of you. Were you here for that? Oh, you missed it. It was good. So praise the Lord. So thank you, Jesus. The resurrection of the Christ. He looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, and he was neither abandoned to Hades nor did his flesh suffer. This Jesus, God, raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Now, I spent a good amount of time last week talking about Jesus being the God-man. Need to listen from last week so you can grab that. But Peter grabbed that. Peter knew that. Peter released that. And Peter was able to understand at that point that Jesus, the God-man, is interceding for us up in heaven. He was raised from the dead. He was ascended. He was seated at the right hand of the Father, and he was doing what he was called to do. So he was saying that here so that people's hearts would be cut to the quick. The spirit of conviction was released in such a powerful way. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 33, again, there's a therefore, and I talked about that last week. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, received from the Father the promise of the Spirit, he's poured forth, which you both see and hear. He repeats Joel 2:28. For it was not David who ascended into heaven, but he himself. He goes to Psalm 110:1, which we declared, which you prayed over each other. The Lord said to my Lord, Father God said to Jesus, they're talking to one another, and we get to be privileged to hear that. So it's like we're listening going, what? What's that? Who are you talking about? Who's the Lord? This is the Papa. This is Jesus. And they're talking to each other. And David, you get to record that. How awesome is that? What's going on in here? How close are we in the kingdom? How close are we to the throne? How close are we? Are we that intimate with God? This whole thing reeks in a good way of intimacy with God. Intimacy with the Father and the Spirit and the Son. So beautiful. So lovely. So smart. Sit at my right hand. Father says to Jesus, until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. And then 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ with Jesus whom you crucified. So again, and I spoke a lot about that last week, about the Jesus who is now God-man in heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's constantly interceding for us. He is the epitome of what God wants to see happen here on this earth, but he is divine. He is fully God, fully man, in heaven. Go figure. This is Jesus. And so Peter was understanding and wanting to release this to the people around him. So that's when they said, now 37, very famous. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart. I believe God is saying, if you hear this, you'll be pierced to the heart. If you'll hear this, you'll be pierced to the heart. If you hear this, you'll be pierced to the heart. It will change, even reading it, hearing it once or twice. You'll be pierced to the heart, going, God, pierce me to the heart. Pierce me, God. I want a release. I want that release. I want the depth of that. Pierced to the heart and said, brethren, what shall we do? Brethren, he's talking. The brethren are talking to the brethren. That's kind of weird. Peter said, repent and each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Basically, this Jesus, Father, is saying, I have made you Lord. So if you're going to receive me, you're going to receive the Lord of all. You're going to receive the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. That's who you're receiving. So your heart's going to be pricked to go, he's God, he's the Lord. He's in heaven, but he's my Lord and my Savior both. And it's the fullness right here. Lawrence talked about this at the Gooder God class on Thursday. Not this chapter or anything, but the idea of Lord versus Savior. It's right here in the scripture. But what happens? What happens when we say, Jesus, you're Lord? It leads to the infusion of the Holy Spirit inside of us and the empowerment that comes. And that concept, if you want to call it that, is so watered down in the world that people think, I'm just cooking, I'm fine. Of course, I got Jesus. I can confess Jesus. Why not? But Jesus being Lord like this, that's a little bit out there for me. It's a little bit wild for me. I don't think Peter thought so. And God was saying, this is how I started the church. Is Jesus Lord? Who is Jesus? Is he Lord of all? Is he Lord to me? Is he Lord of my life? Is that Jesus? Even as a baby, we can say yes. And then we grow. That's the seed, but we say yes. And God says, okay, good. And then I will grow that faith up. So it'll look like something. Because Peter was prepared, wasn't he? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? You're going to be crucified upside down. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Well, yes, yes. How could he love him? He loved him because he received him as Lord. He received him for who he was. And he laid this foundation out in the gospel, or in Acts here. And it's so clear that he's saying, this is our pattern. This is not something to be taken lightly. This is something to hold fast to inside. And go, that's it, God. So I can take anything. I can go anywhere. I can become anything that you want me to become. I am not going to resist you. And I'm not going to resist the Spirit of God in me, and I'm not going to resist the Spirit of God in other people. I won't resist, I won't resist, I won't resist. And that's what Peter was trying to tell them. They were cut to the heart because of that. Oh, this is great. Thank you, Jesus. Now I want to look at 40 through 47 again. Before we're going to look at that. We did last week. But I'm going to look at it again because I believe there's going to be even a deeper release of yes and amen for us personally. It has to come because we're hungry. Because right after this, Peter and John go heal the lame beggar from birth at the Gate Beautiful. They heal him, and then there's trouble for the rest of their life. But that's okay. That's the way it is. 40, with many other words, he solemnly testified, kept exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. 41, so then those who had received his word were baptized that day, and they were added 3,000. That's nice and safe sounding. That sounds really good. But do you know what they understood? Now get this. Look at the verses after this. Here's what came to them when they said yes. Here's what happened. Here was the result of their yes. And they were good with it. This is what really messes with me. And it's supposed to. It's supposed to mess with us. Do you want to be messed with? They were continually. Look at 42 through 47. Now, come on, guys. Let's not explain it away. Well, those were those guys 2,000 years ago. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teachings. Wow. They were steadfast, continuously receiving, hearing, agreeing, going along with, saying yes and amen to the apostolic teaching they were privy to be under and receive, and to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Okay, so there's this paradigm set up by God himself, knowing that he's dealing with weak humans, all of us are, And he's saying, here you go. Here's what's going to work. Here's what you're going to need. Because each one of you needs to be strengthened for what's to come. Because it's got to be about him. It's got to be about Jesus. But there's a way to do it. And he's got this kingdom way that he's trying to teach us and he's trying to show us. And he's really good about it. So they're continually devoted, continually devoted, continually devoted. And when we're not continually devoted, we have to do something about that. We have to recognize that we've not been continually devoted, and we have to turn. We have to repent. We have to say, I wasn't continually devoted. And so because I wasn't, I want to be. And now I get this because you're giving me an opportunity for revelation knowledge from heaven to come and clear things out so I can see. And now I will step into what you have called me for, to be continually devoted where I am, what I know, all the hurts and pains and tragedies and circumstances, all those things, as well as the wonderful highlights that we all like to camp in, okay? But I will be continually devoted to see what you say and what you do. Jesus, what do you say? Jesus, what do you do with all of this? For me, for the good of the cause, for the bigger picture, always. Lord, I haven't been continually devoted to the bigger picture because I've been wrapped up in the stormy waters around me, and I need to be devoted to the bigger picture so that I have the right understanding, attitude, and way of dealing with the stormy waters around me. And we need each other to do that. And that's what Peter understood. This is so good. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe of many wonders and signs taking place through the apostles. So everyone is everyone. So this is a good season. 44, and all who had believed were together and had all things in common. And we joked last week and said, well, we're not communists, but we don't want to water down. We don't want to make excuses. We want to understand what he means by that. And we want to step into that and how honor, favor, and alignment actually work. How do they actually work? So they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with everybody as anyone might have need. Come on. Some had more than the others. Some didn't have a lot. But the ones who had a lot had such vision to see what was needed that they stepped into that, which increased the abilities for the apostles to move forward and do what they were called to do. It's just simple. We can't, I mean, it's right there. But how many times, and this is to me, do I read that and go, that's not what that means? How many times do we say, that's getting a little close here, back off. This is sounding controlling. Do you want to be controlled by the Spirit of God? Then listen to these words and run your life through the grid of these words as an early foundational way of doing life together. It's so important. And while we're not at the largest numbers that we will be in the future, and I know that, the Lord's saying, well, you guys, I'm going to give you another opportunity to see this, pay attention, listen, and have fun with this, and come together. I'm going to give you a picture of unity, and here it is. This is what worked, and this is where it went. And some people lost their lives, and some people did this and that. But you know what? It was for the propagation of the gospel of the kingdom to the four corners of the earth. And I gave you that mandate before I took off, and I told you I'm going to change things around so that you'll know how to work together, how to love together, how to submit, what that looks like. People weren't coming up to Peter saying, well, that ain't working, buddy. I'm sorry. This is the way I'm doing it. It just didn't work. But there was this ease in the spirit because their hearts were pricked by the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the foundation from the past of what God intended. That's what's so fun about this. And they all had hurts and pains and sorrows. I mean, really, everybody. So it's not, well, you mean he doesn't really care about my hurts and pains? No, this is a group that does care. It's not even like that. I mean, if Peter were standing here, he'd look and go, excuse me? I'm not understanding what you're saying. You're speaking a different language to me. Of course I know that you're your body, soul, and spirit. I'm trying to teach you how to live by the Spirit. And it's going to affect your body. And it's going to touch your mind, your will, and your emotions. But it's going to be about others as well as for you. You see? So Peter was modeling this, and he went through a lot to get to this point. And so as I said last week, he was kind of the big dog, you know, for the first half of Acts, and then Paul came in the second half of Acts. And again, you can listen to last week and hear more about that. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. Okay, verse 44, and all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. They began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Those are really hard verses, guys. They are really hard verses. They're not little verses. They're hard verses, but they're verses that are have the same weight as any other verse. Because they're all... Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. Okay, these are families together. This is the early church. These are people... Okay, well, I think it needs to go like this so that I can still maintain all my comfort here. I don't think it works that way. I think the Lord is saying, listen, I am talking to you. It's not talking about comfort here. And Jesus was not preaching. Peter, was not preaching about comfort. He wasn't. You know, but I'm a very joyful person, so I'm not one going, you can't make it tough enough. Bring it on. Okay, there's this movie called Sister Act. I don't know if you guys ever saw it. Years ago, I watched it, and there was this one nun on there, and she was Sister Mary Horrible or something, honestly, with, like, you can't make it tough enough. I'm going to sit, and I'm going to be miserable. Let's make it all miserable. And everybody joked about it, but that's not God. But bringing heaven to earth is looking like God's showing us that there's something that we're going to be so propelled by that will be way beyond this. Pastor Benjamin is someone who probably is experiencing a little bit more of that. And I think we're in this place where we don't have persecution in our country the way they do overseas. So it's really hard to grasp that. That's why we have to get our DNA of heart from the scriptures and say, what are you talking to me about for me, God, right now? How can that make a difference for me? And if we're all going to be persecuted and we're just waiting that someday there's going to be a foreign enemy that comes and says, give me your money, give me your house, and then you go, oh my gosh, persecution is here, we're very foolish. The Lord is saying, I want you to see that persecution follows those who will say, you are Lord, and I need you to understand and see what it is so that you can stand appropriately and walk in it together, arm in arm with people so that you're not walking around as this victim like people are after me, but it's with pride in Jesus saying, oh, I have a sense of going through stuff that the early church went through and the later church is going through, and I get that. That's pretty cool, God. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. They were sincere. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, and they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Whew, I like that. I like the favor. Now, before it goes into the healing of the lame beggar, you know, it's just kind of like, okay, God, I need to really grasp Acts 1 and 2. What you're saying now, because if the church of Jesus Christ is supposed to fly way past that, I really need to see what you meant by that. And your kingdom principles don't ever change. Your application of how it might look can be bigger than we can see. But I want to see that when I'm spending time with you, that I'm cut to the heart, that I am going to get dreams and visions and words from the Old Testament, from the New Testament, from you, that I don't understand what they mean, but you're going to speak to me, and I have that desire inside to hear you and to know that you're looking at the bigger picture. That's one of the reasons we're so involved with Awaken the Dawn, because we want to do this together, and we want to see what God wants to do. We want to understand what unity in the body looks like. We want to understand. We want to sacrifice. We didn't ask to take the times in the middle of the night. We were asked, and we just laughed and went, well, that kind of goes with National Day of Prayer. We just take all the times in the middle of the night because no one else wanted to. So I don't know about this. So, you know, I'm not really sure why, but we're going to take a couple of times in the middle of the night. because we want to step out. I don't know what God will do. So we want to do that from a mission perspective, a mission heart. Thank you, Jesus. So then we look and see chapter 3. And I'm really not going to go through that at all because it's really great. And it's a testimony, and you can read through it, and you can also get it from last week. But I want to look at verse 11. While he was clinging to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them at the so-called portico of Solomon, full of amazement. When Peter saw this, he replied, "Men of Israel, why are you amazed at this, or why do you gaze at us as if by our own power or piety we made him walk?" But he was clinging to Peter. Why was he clinging to Peter? Okay, it's kind of like the very first gift of Christmas we had. We had this girl, her name was Trisha, and she was rescued out of the Y, and she had been involved in human trafficking. I'm not going to say what it was on the tape, but she had been involved in a lot of other things. And do you know what? She was back here, and she ran up like this to the front, and I was preaching the gospel right here, and she grabs me, like, and I'm still preaching the gospel. You guys remember that, if you were here? It's like, okay, it's just me. Just little MP. She doesn't know who I am. But she's so touched by the power of the gospel that she ran up and she was clinging, because that's what we do. Not necessarily to the person. It's not about the person. But that's what it's saying here. When you are set free, when your heart goes, yes, that's it, then God says, I'm awakening you. And that's what this new awakening, the Wake in the Dawn, is all about. There's an awakening for what's going on the inside to be released. If there is an awakening and a birthing going on, that we see ourselves as the womb of Jesus Christ, that Scripture supports that, that we are going to see, that God is going to say, do you believe that the resurrected one lives on the inside of you to such a degree that you don't want anything to be in the way so that he can fully flow through you? Fully. Can you imagine what that would be like? That's the great awakening. We're all, many of us, I think, sometimes are waiting for God to sit on his throne with a big wand or something and go, that was a nice outreach. Boom! It's not like that. You know, we're sitting here with the resurrected Jesus living inside of us in this place. And God is saying, let me show you who you are, but let me clear out anything that would confuse you. And better than that, I will show you who I am. And then you'll know who you are. And when you walk that out, that's where the great awakening is going to be. It's not to say that God doesn't add whatever he wants to add, however he does that. Okay? Our prayer releases his hand, but at the same time, our prayer as birthers releases out of this womb that's getting ready for this baby to be born anything that's on God's heart. And we're praying that out. If we don't believe that, if we don't believe that the early church was devoted to prayer, if we don't believe that there's a place for us to get so serious that we're going to be stoked by the more that we offer to the Lord from inside of us, just saying, no, Lord, this is what you said. No, Lord, this is what you decreed. No, Lord, this is what you're doing. No, Lord, this is what you're like. Or, yes, Lord, I agree with you. Yes, God, I want to be involved in saving souls. Yes, God, free that aunt or uncle or cousin or friend. Yes, God, touch me. Okay? God's saying, that's your mandate. And when you do that, guess what? The chains fall off. The Holy Spirit comes and goes, oh, I love that. I'm going to hover over Troy while he's sleeping. Because that's what you're doing. You're creating. You're involving yourself in the creation of what God wants to do through our prayers. And he's saying, I want to create such a place in him that he is just awakened to a new place, saying yes and amen, because he was designed to do that. That's a holy mandate from heaven. And the more we do that, the more we think like that, the more that we experience that, the more we want to. If we're continually devoted to this prayer, continually devoted to the things God is saying like that, guess what? Things are going to change. Things are going to happen. It's not going to be one or two or three. It's going to be 10, 20, 30, 1,000. 10, 20, 30 million. It's going to be people who are just so filled with Jesus and the revelation of the resurrection who are going to get this. You cannot stop people like that. Peter was one of them. And then he was stirring people up to be able to do the same. That's where we are. That's what God says is for us today. I really believe that. So when Kim was singing out the name today, I was just so touched, because by the name of Jesus, it's by that name that we have to take steps of what we're going to do for the persecution that comes in our life, or however we're to look at that. But I want you to take a look as Peter, pray for this guy and he was healed, Peter and John. Take a look at 16. Very important verse. And we're going to wrap this up. We're going to have to continue this. And on the basis of faith in his name, look at that. Verse 16, chapter 3. On the basis of faith in his name, it is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man whom you see and know. And the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect health in the presence of you all. The name of Jesus. Now, really, this name is so powerful that these guys understood this to this degree, that they they had this connection with the name above all names, because the name of Jesus, he said, I am who I am. I am the great I am. That's who I am. And I am the God-man. And I'm going to speak it, declare it. I am going to press this out. I am going to do something so amazing through you, because you're going to become birthers. Now, when he did this, now when he said this, he started preaching at them again, to them. Now, I know you guys, you were silly and you acted in ignorance. I know that. But here's what you need to do. You need to repent, you, so that you'll have a refreshing. God's always saying you need to repent. Look at verse 19. Therefore, because of you guys crucifying him, you need to repent and return so that your sins are wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come in the presence of God, and that he can send Jesus Christ, the Holy One, until the restoration of all things. Verse 21. And then he goes all the way through, and I plead with you to read this yourself again. Go through and read it again and go through the Bible. Okay? Now, chapter 4, I'm going to hit a couple of things and then wrap it up. Okay. These people were greatly disturbed, as you know, because Peter and John were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection from the dead. The resurrection from the dead. Our lives have to model and emulate the resurrection from the dead. Jesus lives inside by the Spirit. So our lives have to model that, the resurrection from the dead. And that's what they're preaching, and that's where the power is released through them. And so what do they say in response to this? They were put in jail after they were beaten and such. And 5,000 people were hearing this, and they got saved. So we're up to 8,000 now that we can have a number actually to gauge this. But the fun verse here is verse 7. Look at this. When they had placed them in the center, this is after they had them in jail overnight, they said, but what, by what power or in what name have you done this? What power and what name? And that was the question. So every bit of persecution that we get, the question is, by what power and by what name do you think that you are something? Because we don't think we're anything. It's all about Jesus. By what power, by what name? And our response will come from a place of power, from the place of the name of Jesus that takes us and holds us and catapults us into the next step. It's very tangible. It's observable. It's seen. It's recognized. And that's the boldness and that's the courage that was given. That's the boldness and the courage that was given to these guys. By doing that, every time they stepped into this, boldness, courage increased. Every time they went to jail and they were beat up, all the people back home are praying and interceding. But they have a model. They're not just saying, oh, take care of Peter, take care of Peter. No, they're praying and declaring and decreeing the name above all names in Jesus from a place of victory, out of the birthing of something that's going to cause the chains to fall off. And if we can't see that, then we do not have the fullness of the anointing of the Holy Spirit that we might think that we have. And we're going to miss these things. It's like it's not important to us. Yeah, I got to pray again. I got to show up again. Yeah. Are you kidding me? That privilege of being completely and continuously devoted to prayer is going to supersede some of the things that we do. It has to. It just does. Because God gives us the mandate for that. And we have to see it. We have to see the bigger picture. We have to understand that. So they ordered them. There's another verb. They ordered them to leave the council, and then they began to talk with each other. So they were like, okay, what do we do about this? Now think of this in modern day stuff in your job. You're sitting at the computer. Think about this. What's going on in the spirit around you? Where are you aware of what God is doing? Are you in tune with what God is saying? Are you seeing Jesus above all else so that you're not thinking of yourself as a victim, but you're thinking of yourself as a witness like Acts or beyond? You're thinking of yourself as someone who gets to release the demonstration of the gospel of the kingdom in every situation. Same with your family. Same within the ministry here. Same in your houses that you live in, wherever it is. It's the same thing. Wherever it is. And then finally, 16 says, what shall we do with these men? So the question is, now what? Okay, so they're asking a question. For the fact is that a noteworthy miracle has taken place through them. Why was it noteworthy? Isn't any miracle noteworthy? Because they knew this guy. And they said, I've seen him. He wasn't able to walk since he was born. And he was sitting at the gate, beautiful, and you know, this guy was never going to walk. So everything they always believed and always thought was completely discombobulated at that moment. And now they have an opportunity to respond to fear or to faith. They had an opportunity to respond. If they didn't take the opportunity to respond in faith, because God would have provided that because he's no respecter of persons, then they would respond in fear. And God knew that too. He knew what would happen. So if you take a look at it, it says here, it's noteworthy because we get it. Everybody can see it, and we can't deny it. And then here's what they did. So that it won't spread any further, we will warn. So this is their decision. This is their wrong way of doing things. We will warn them, and we will command them, verse 18, don't speak or teach in the name of Jesus. In other words, I will stop you. We will stop you. You may think, well, that's no big deal. I can read that. And so how does that affect me? It will affect you on Monday morning when you go into your office. It will affect you when you leave here and you go to a family gathering. It will affect you in every way because God wants to put us in those situations, but he wants to see past everything so that we don't get caught up in how it affects us. How does that affect my finances? How does it affect my decisions? I'm listening to you, Lord, tell me. You're not telling me anything. And he might be saying, that's because you're not listening for the hard stuff. What if I said, go sell everything and give it away? What if I said, go do this, go do that? Have you asked me? Have you said, what am I supposed to do with this, whatever I have that you've given? What am I supposed to do with that, God? And how will it affect where I am and what I'm doing? I'm telling you. There's a way for us to move together with these kinds of things being challenged and worked out. And I think Peter had a pretty good handle on those kinds of things. Well, I can hear the Holy Spirit. I don't have to listen to anybody else. If you say that, you're very foolish. Honestly. I don't want to say that myself. I want to hear, what is the Holy Spirit saying through somebody else to me? And I want to hear. And it might be the hardest thing. And it might be the thing that I have to do, that I have to lay down, and I have to give, or that I want to give. And it might be 100% of everything. So there's no fallback. There's no retirement plan. There's no nothing. And God says, are you going to trust me? I'll give you everything. Give it away. Do we think that way? Do we believe that way? Yeah, but, you know, that's kind of good, but then I have to take care of this. Did you ever wonder why the ship isn't in the deep water? Think about it. It's not because God says, well, I think you need to stay back here until you learn your lessons. He's saying, if everyone will get a handle on what he's saying, we're moving. We're moving. This is just graciously wonderful. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So good. To finish it up, verse 19, Peter and John answered and said, whatever is right in the sight of God to give you, you check it out. You be the judge. I mean, that's pretty bold to people who can kill you. But verse 20 says, for we cannot stop speaking about what we've seen and heard. We can't stop. We can't stop. So what has the enemy tried to do? Keep you from remembering what you've seen and heard. And that's why we need to go back and put God in remembrance of what we've seen and heard and what we know. And then he can build on that. Really. One of the things that I thought when I heard about this crazy thing at Mount Union, I had this picture. It just flashed back to going to Mount Union ourselves back in the day when we did all that. And I met Lawrence in the dorm room. And I remember talking to Lawrence and having a desire to get to know this young man more. And it was our son who told me, he said, Mikey, he said, you're going to meet this guy. He's really special. I think he's somebody who would want to go to Africa with us. And I said, oh, really? He goes, yeah, he's really awesome. I said, oh, okay. Because they were both on campus, and that's the first time I met you. And I remember that, and God wants to build on that, and he wants to increase that, and he wants to move on that, and he wants to keep things moving. You know, God says, you need to know what I was doing in the beginning, what I'm doing now. It's not a matter of I can't or I won't or I'm not allowed. That is not God. But God says, I have a plan, and you need to know what it is. And I need you to follow my plan. And the plan of God will be seen and understood and received by people who want everything God gives, who are willing to lay everything down no matter what. Then God releases those kinds of things and we can see it. That's unity. And that's where the Lord can flow in the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, wow. Thank you, Jesus. I want to encourage you. I want to finish it up in 28, these verses, 28 in chapter 4, so you feel strengthened today. And it says, it's Peter talking again. Well, let's start in 27. Let's be encouraged. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. Now look at 29. Now be encouraged right now, guys. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, that's the first thing they did. The place where they had gathered together was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, that's my word, and began to speak the word of God with boldness. And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart, one soul. Not one of them claimed that anything belonged to him was his own, but all things were common property. Just crazy stuff. And with great power and anointing, the apostles were giving testimony to what? The resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And abundant grace was upon them all. And there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land and houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales. Meaning, there's no lack. This is crazy. And lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as they had need. Now Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was called Barnabas, and who owned a tract of land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now last week, I mentioned Ananias and Sapphira. I'm not going through it now. We're finishing up. And because there was such glory going on, Ananias and Sapphira were messing in the anointing, and they paid the price for that. Peter's shadow came, and people were healed by the shadow. This is the power of the Holy Spirit really coming out of Peter everywhere he was. It's not the shadow that healed. It's the power of God that healed coming out of Peter because he's so filled with Jesus. That's the point. Thank you, Jesus. So, Father, we're just going to thank you this morning that you're desiring, God, to increase us today, so that the effectual fervent prayer of righteous people availeth much. God, that you will teach us, God, from your message in James as we wrap up here. That you teach us, God, that what you have for us is so strong and so mighty that we can be so filled to overflowing, God. And I'm going to say to you, Father, that as we are exhorted finally at the end of this as a beginning point for us to consider the faith that you've given us, that we will that we will be filled with your endurance, filled with your compassion, and we will be filled with your mercy this morning. And just as James chapter 5 ends, I'm going to read this over all of us, Lord, verses 13 all the way to finish. Father, may this be who we are. If anyone among you, is there anyone among you suffering, then he must pray. Meaning, is there anyone being afflicted or suffering in any way? Is anyone cheerful with the joy of the Lord? He is to sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they're to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he's committed sins, they will be forgiven him. 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Father, may this be us today, that we will have effective prayers as righteous people to accomplish what you're saying the new birthing will be for things over our family, over our finances, over this ministry, over our friends, over this nation, over everything, God, that we're touching, over our businesses. Father, that just as Elijah was a man, just like us, he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it didn't for 3 years and 6 months. And then verse 18 says he prayed again, and the sky poured, and the rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Father, let us take this mandate finally in 19 and 20 home with us out the door that Peter and all of his disciples had, and they paid the biggest price of their lives for it. That if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Let me read that again. This is to the brethren from the brethren, about the brethren. Brethren, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner or someone who is sinning by straying from the error of his way will save that person's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Father, we just praise you this morning for the exhortation that comes through the powerful release of your word. And we thank you, God, for the healing and the delivering power and the hope that's been restored to all of us. Father, I thank you for increased hope today, increased joy today, increased peace today, increased revelation knowledge today, increased understanding today, increased yes and amen today on every front, Lord, that this will take us down a place that will increase us with greater camaraderie for those who have like spirits. And Father, we're asking for that as we go forward this week. May it be, may we be released into a greater aspect of your fullness as we recognize who you are and we have a greater understanding of you and the value of your cross and resurrection. We love you, Jesus. May it be. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus.